It's time. Erica is here, and all of you are here, and there is a lot going on out there. Is it monkeypox? Is that the issue, or is it monkey business? Who's playing games about what? 550 confirmed monkeypoxes in terms of cases in 30 non-endemic countries around the globe. So how did it spread? If, in fact, that's what they have. Did it just take a plane ride? Could be. Remember, a plane flight is all that separates us from all kinds of very unpleasant illnesses. It's that simple. Hello, Erica. Welcome back.
Hello, Jeff. Good to be back.
Is it monkey pox or is it monkey business? What do we got here?
I think it's a little bit of both right now. You know, it's an interesting distraction from the vaccine carnage that's happening.
Well put. Excellent word. Absolute carnage of humanity. And it's just getting going. Dear friends,
yeah.
if you are around people who have been shot up and are sick, you know what we're talking about. Many of you have lost friends. I've lost friends. Erica has lost people. She knows. We have to get used to this idea that we're going to lose a lot of people. They have done it. And yet there is still no overt outrage. It's amazing. We get these monkeypox, oh my, and they show the pictures, like we said, of these bubbles on people's hands and arms, and oh, it's terrible and all that. But 500 cases? Now, what happened in North Korea? If it was true, I don't know. Was it true? They started out, was it 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago? They reported they had a very unpleasant febrile illness that had broken out. And there were dozens of cases on the first day. The second day, the North Korean government reported 680,000 infected people. The third day, the North Korean government claimed that 1.5 million or thereabouts had become infected with this very nasty viral illness, high fever and all that. The lid came down on that real quick and we heard nothing more about it. Never seems to have broken out in South Korea. So these mystery diseases pop up in the media, then they disappear. They come and they go. What variant will be next? You know, it's just kind of gotten to that point.
Yeah, this was supposed to be the decade of vaccines. I remember, perhaps it was the last decade, and they're behind schedule. But that was a plan.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, they have to justify the vaccines with these diseases that seem to come out of nowhere. All of a sudden, they're jumping species, and they're in the human population, spreading like wildfire, and we all need a vaccine.
Well, that's what those biosafety level 3 and 4 labs are for, to create these things. These are biowarfare devices.
It's all genetic modification these days. They can do it. They can create viruses.
That's something that, well, first of all, we all know that viruses don't exist. But they have actually created viruses in the lab. It's true. It's science. So they're well advanced, further down the road than they'll ever admit to us, and maybe decades. So there are things, as we've said over and over again, on the shelf, just waiting to be pulled out and deployed or released, however you want to look at it. But right now, monkeypox, right? Not much today, except the story Sputnik had it, over 550 confirmed cases. Look at the amount of ink. We used to call it ink, newspaper ink. Look at the amount of ink coverage that this monkeypox thing has gotten. How many people have died from it? Do you know?
I don't know. Not
one?
Many.
One or
right.
Two?
Right.
It's absurd.
It's not supposed to be lethal.
No.
And I think just for the record, that people are under the impression that the reservoir is monkeys. It's not. It's actually rodents. And monkeys, it was first detected in monkeys, but monkeys are not the typical reservoir for it. It's rodents. And it can be transmitted to monkeys or humans, but it's not particularly deadly.
So
at least not the
was...
strain that you know they're saying, the one from West Africa, which has about a 1% case fatality rate.
That's
but if you have an intact immune system, it shouldn't be that much of an issue. But the problem nowadays is we have a large percentage of the population whose immune systems are failing.
Let us before we jump into that. Let us remember also that the COVID coronavirus had a less than 1% fatality rate, according to everything I saw, 99.9997% survival rate with no treatment. So monkeypox is actually about the same in West Africa, 1 out of 100. So... they're playing us.
And the interesting
always.
Thing is, it's never really been found anywhere else other than maybe somebody who visited Africa and returned to their home country. But, how is it that it's ending up in Europe all of a sudden? Or actually, beyond Europe. We've got cases in the U.S., Canada, Australia.
Yeah.
That is a little bit suspicious, but you could say that, it was blamed on these festivals that they were having in the Canary Islands, and when everybody went home, they brought the virus with them. Maybe.
I don't think monkeypox is going to do much more for a while, but according to that tabletop exercise, which apparently Bobby Malone didn't know about until recently. Is that true?
He put something out the other day that indicated that he was just made aware that there was a tabletop exercise when most of us have known about it for 2 weeks.
How can that? Come on. I mean, they're just jerking our chains all the time. Malone knows. Fauci knows. Those are the two most visible. They know everything about essentially everything that's being perpetrated against us. They know. I'm not saying they did it, but they certainly know. They are as well connected gets. So you have to understand that.
Well, I don't think, just to mention, Reuters has now fact-checked this. They said they would...
Oh, well, I feel better
despite
already.
Despite there being this published literature that has gone viral and indicating the time and date of that tabletop exercise from the Nuclear Threat Initiative, which took place in Munich, Germany, in March of 2021, with a schedule and an outline of this dress rehearsal for a monkeypox outbreak and how it was going to be handled, including which news stations were going to broadcast what kind of news. Reuters says that it's merely a coincidence. Despite the fact that on March 15th, they met their first timeline.
Yeah. To the day. Just a coincidence. It's almost as if the mainstream media cartel has turned to laughing at us rather than taking us seriously. This is ludicrous, the way they play these things out. Fact check.
I mean, Reuters is so... so blatantly obvious now that whatever they say, you just flip it and then you have the truth.
It's about right. Just do a 180 with it if you want to know what's going on.
Right.
Absolutely correct. So, there's your monkeypox update. And now there's a monkeypox travel alert. I don't know if you saw that. Did you see that?
No.
Here, just to round off our little monkeypox update. This is Great Game India. And hilarious travel alert was issued by the CDC in response to the spread of monkeypox in over 20 countries. So what did they do? When it comes to traveling during the current monkey business outbreak, the Centers for Disease Control has just released some groundbreaking information. The CDC has raised its travel advisory from level 1 to level 2 due to the outbreak, which has already resulted in over 200 and 40 confirmed and suspected cases, etc. So what does that mean? The second level, level two, is alert, which corresponds to practice enhanced precautions. The first level is watch, which basically means practical usual precautions, as opposed to practice enhanced precautions. When it comes to monkeypox travel advisories, the CDC has three different levels. The highest level is three, which relates to avoid non-essential travel and is the warning level. So we're at level two now. They're just playing games constantly with us. And that tabletop exercise that somehow snuck past Dr. Robert Malone is worth a chuckle.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what you just mentioned is part of move number one, which was initiated on May 15, 2022, running through June 5, which is, 4 days from now. And it mentions monkeypox outbreak in Brinia, which is some hypothetical country, 1,421 cases with four deaths. No international warnings or advisories, but the key issues are international alert and warning systems, benefits of and need for early risk assessment.
See what they're doing? COVID had a 1%, less than 1% mortality rate. Monkeypox is the same for the version out of West Africa. And look what they're doing. They're just beating the drums and rolling out the stories in the controlled media. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, this is presumably the foundation for what's coming next, which will occur in January 10 of 2023, when suddenly 83 countries will be affected with 70 million cases and 1.3 million deaths. The monkeypox is engineered to be vaccine resistant. National responses, effects of early action, and international supply chain challenges.
Uh-huh.
So January 10, put that on your calendar. So, who knows? I think they'll hang that out there as an option if they need it. I don't know how right. committed they are to it. But,
hard to know.
They're going to try, that's the plan, to say that this monkeypox virus is engineered to be resistant to the vaccine. So that may be true, because by then, most of the people that I think will be candidates for a vaccine will not have an immune system to be able to respond to a vaccine. I mean, if you do not have an immune system, that right now they are coming up with vaccines specifically for people that don't have an immune system, just to force them somehow, some way to produce antibodies. Now, this would be people with cancer or people on immunosuppressive drugs. But right now they do not have anything for immune-compromised people, for pox viruses, that would be effective.
And immune-compromised people are perhaps as many as 5 billion on the planet. Let's just say 4 billion on the planet. And they have, according to German research, after taking two injections, and this is not the end. This is just at a certain point after they had taken the second shot. Remember, if they went another couple of weeks, it might be worse. But after the second shot, after a certain amount of time, they had only 12% of their immune system left. So what are they going to do? They already have AIDS. They have acquired, right? Immune deficiency syndrome. That's 12% of your immune system left. They have AIDS. So anything out there, and Dr. Blaylock was right. He said, we're going to see everything and anything, and things we don't even have names for. And he repeated that in another recent paper. It's not going to be pleasant. And we're as concerned about the vaxxed as we are about the unvaxxed, because the unvaxxed can give the vaxxed disease pathogens very easily, and the vaxxed can gift the unvaxxed with the spike protein and perhaps even the mRNA and maybe other things. We don't know for sure. So we're recommending common sense, as always. Wear a mask, get a good N95 mask, not a CN95 if you can help it. Find a good one. And wear a mask when you're out in crowds of people to protect the vaxxed and to protect yourself, the unvaxxed. All right? So there we go. Now, vaccine development. As we know by now, vaccine is enormous business. Huge. It's mega billions. We don't know how much Al Borla has made and Pfizer, but I'll bet it's $100 billion by this point.
Oh, easily. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how many... Now, this is the crazy part, though. How many spike... We know the spike protein, and all of you listening know by now, the spike protein is horrifically, catastrophically devastating to the human life form. Probably to other life forms, mammals as well. How many vaccines are in the pipeline right now and actually undergoing testing that have as their primary component, or one of them, the spike protein?
As of today, 205 are in the pipeline in various levels of clinical phases. There's 715 vaccine trials going on in 75 different countries.
700 plus vaccine trials going on, testing these concoctions, which include spike proteins.
Yes. Now, a few of them, to be fair, are also incorporating now the nucleocapsid protein of this virus. Not many. Most of them are focused on the spike protein.
But they're
realizing now there's some limitations because that spike protein keeps changing. That's the most changeable part of that virus.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's most apt to the part of it most apt to mutate and evade the immune system. But the frightening thing, I think, is that a number of these vaccines are using other viruses. Recombinant technology to incorporate the spike protein into their genome. Now, the best example of that right now is the adenovirus, which is a virus that has been spliced with the gene to produce a spike protein.
This is mind-boggling.
It's a chimeric virus. It's not supposed to replicate, but we already know that there are situations where that it's highly likely that it will acquire the genes to be able to allow it to replicate. And now you've got a brand new virus out there that is very durable, more durable than the coronavirus. The adenovirus does not have a lipid membrane envelope, so it's not easily inactivated. Mm-hmm. It's very durable. It can survive in a wide range of environmental conditions for a long period of time. And it's highly transmissible. So at the very least, we may be looking at some kind of chimeric adenovirus that's carrying a spike protein moving through the population now. Don't know. I think it's a strong possibility. But now we also have a vaccine candidate that's in a phase 3 clinical trial in Israel that's using a pox virus to do the same thing.
What are they doing? Why? What are they doing? They really are trying to resurrect smallpox or something very similar to it.
Well,
not monkeypox.
And this one is live. It's not attenuated. It's live.
Oh, come on.
So, yeah.
Come on.
And we've got, the pox viruses are also shed in skin, not just aerosolized respiratory droplets, but also skin cells that flake off. So, that could be spread by direct contact. This is just crazy, I think. And then there's another one that the Chinese are developing also in phase 3 that uses an influenza virus to express a spike protein. And that one is an intranasal one that, you would squirt up the nose and...
Uh-huh.
And when you consider the spike protein is the worst part of this virus with prion binding sites on it, and you're going to put it in somebody's nasal cavity right next to their brain?
It really does. I mean, there's no other way to analyze this and review it other than to come to the conclusion that they are trying to come up with more ways to conveniently kill more people.
Or could it be that they're that stupid that no one's thinking about
this? No, I don't believe it.
Or it's just that greed has blinded them?
I think there's another agenda. I don't know what it is. But something's up. This is to even talk about touching in any way, shape, or form the spike protein, its world, and how it functions is completely insane. So, no, I don't think they're all insane for a moment. They're using the spike for a reason. And I don't know what it could be.
I know what it does, but...
No.
I'm very suspicious that they have not changed the spike protein and the code for the spike protein in any of these vaccines. Now, the benefit, the attractiveness of these vaccines was supposed to be that they could modify them very quickly and upscale production very quickly to meet any sort of mutant variants that would arise.
To make them safer. Correct.
Or more, you know, appropriate or fitting for the
whatever
strain is in circulation. In 18 months, they haven't done that? And we've gone through how many variants of concern?
When you look at the story out of Ukraine, I ran yesterday, day before, about these BSL bioweapon labs over there in 2020, 2 years ago, were producing currency, whatever, maybe dollars, I don't know what they use over there, but they were using Ukrainian currency, and I think it was dying with U.S. dollars, and they were coating it with live TB bacilli. What are they doing? And they were giving the money away to children to try to infect them or otherwise get them to transfer live TB. And we don't know how successful that was, but this is a fact. Why would you give children money that has been soaked in tuberculosis? To keep it simple.
Yeah, that's just cruel. Absolutely cruel.
Well, we are no longer concerned with children and goodness. Not we, not you listening. Our controllers, and I hate to say it, but we have controllers. And these alleged people do not care one whit about us, our happiness, our lives, our welfare, our well-being, nothing. They're in this for an agenda, and I don't know what it is. I could guess, and one of my guesses would be that they are terraforming the planet. They're getting rid of most all the people because somebody else is moving in here. You think about that. Think about what they're doing with the atmosphere, and they're trying to declare war. Well, they have declared war on carbon dioxide. See, this is all crazy. This is all madness, and there's a reason for it. They're not just floundering around like a fish on a dock in a hot summer afternoon that just got pulled out of the water. They are working agendas.
Yeah, this is not random.
No, not a chance. All right, we have, let's go back and do a little bit of a brush up for all of you out there on amyloids and amyloidosis. If you have been the unfortunate recipient of the Moderna or the Pfizer or the other vax, the Western vaccines, which are bioweapons, you, in all likelihood, are suffering right now from increasing, growing, compounding amyloidosis from head to foot. In other words, when you get a Pfizer shot, the mRNA goes into your body, into a cell, sets up its little shop, and starts having that cell produce spike proteins. And we projected that you're going to end up with about minimum 30 trillion spike proteins, all of which have seven peptide sequences in them. So when they cleave or open up, they're exposed, those seven sites, and there may be more. We know about seven. And every protein that comes by, especially prion proteins, gets misfolded. And one is misfolded, and it goes on and misfolds another one, and another one, and another one. And they stick together. There's an aggregation factor here. And when they stick together, they form little tiny, tiny little threads of misfolded proteins that are stuck together. It's real simple. Now that little tiny fibril will attract other little tiny fibrils, and pretty soon you've got a nice little mass of fibrils. And if they happen to be located in one of your capillary is shut down. One fibril may even shut it down, although I don't think so, because it's got to be wide enough for the blood cells to go through. But that's called a clot. Not a blood clot. It's an amyloid clot. And that's what most people are getting. They're getting amyloid clots. They're shutting down capillaries, veins, vessels, arteries. They're shutting them down. And so we've seen the pictures again. We've talked about this multiple times for quite a while. The clots they're pulling out of dead people are white. They are not red blood cell clots. They're not blood clots in the traditional sense. They're amyloid clots. They shut down the blood flow, so they do the same thing, but they're not made of blood components. Go ahead.
That's right. And this whole process can happen in any organ or tissue that the spike ends up in. The brain, and we know that the spike protein does cross the blood-brain barrier. Pancreas, many people are having issues with their pancreas after these shots. Kidneys would be very susceptible to this type of protein misfolding, or because they would be attempting in some cases to filter these proteins out. And a lot of times they clog the filtration system of the kidneys. Liver is another one. Heart. Ovaries. The uterus. Any place the spike goes, whatever proteins those cells are producing or those organs and tissues are producing could be susceptible to protein misfolding. And when there's enough of them, you get organ dysfunction and organ failure.
Imagine your kidneys, all right? And they're totally vascularized. They get blood. And so we have an amyloid clot forms. I'm not saying there aren't normal blood clots. I'm sure there are. But most of them, I believe, are amyloid clots. And you get a shutdown of a tiny blood vessel in the kidney. And the blood can't get through. And it stacks up and packs up. And ultimately, at one end of this amyloid clot, you're going to have blood. You'll probably have it at both ends because the blood will back up from the direction it was going. And so when they pull these clots out, sometimes you'll see red on both ends. That's why. So you got a shutdown of blood circulation in your kidney, and you get enough of these little fibrils that grow into bigger fibrils and shut down more and more circulatory vessels, and you got kidney damage. And you're in trouble. And whatever major organ you're talking about, this is precisely the mechanism by which they are being destroyed. All this was done with malice aforethought. All this was done with full knowledge and intent to see this happen to as many people as possible. So when you go in and they say, you might have a clot. They do a D-dimer test, comes back negative. What does that mean? That means you don't have a blood clot. But it doesn't mean that you don't have an amyloid clot, which you probably do if the classic symptoms are there. This is really wicked, evil stuff.
This is not that easy to detect. unless you're actually looking for it. So many people are going to their doctors not feeling well after these shots and with a range of symptoms, but you know, the typical tests don't turn up anything. The scans, the blood tests. So unless you're actually looking for this, you're not apt to get an accurate diagnosis anytime soon.
And most doctors are not looking for this. They don't even know about amyloidosis. They know about it in textbook terms, but they're not looking for it. They're not thinking that way. Many of them don't want to lose their license. Many of them have taken the shot. So they don't want to connect those dots for sure. My God, what have I done? This is really not good. And what we've said over and over again for months and months is that people who have taken these shots, and now we know for sure that it's amyloidosis that is causing them not, among other things, that is causing them not to feel well. They don't want to go out. They quit their jobs. I feel like crap. I just don't want to do anything. Understandable. Understandable. And if they go in and they can locate a clot with a CAT scan or whatever they're using, what are they going to do about it? What are they going to do about it? Use heparin? Use other pharmaceuticals? They don't work.
They don't work,
And we have personally talked to at least one physician who says that, it's not working because these are not blood clots. They're made of misfolded proteins. Okay?
Yeah, that's the problem. They're not... they're resistant to the body's mechanisms for breaking them down. And so, just to be clear, this is not just happening in the blood. Wherever that spike protein is being produced, whatever cells have been transfected by this mRNA or the adenovirus, those organs and tissues are also susceptible to this phenomenon. So if it's happening in the brain, you've got ALS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, prion disease, or Creutzfeldt-Jakob. If it happens in the heart, you've got myocarditis. If it happens in the liver, you've got hepatitis, kidneys, nephritis. So it can happen in any number of these organs. It's most obvious in the blood because, you can see it when you go to draw the blood. It tends to be very thick, or you might actually see a blockage on a scan. And the lungs as well. Amyloidosis of the lungs is a possibility with these things.
So whoever built the spike protein, remember, they built those at least seven little peptide sequences that are permanently part of this spike protein. So when the spike protein unfolds or cleaves and opens up, any protein that goes by there will be misfolded. Not everyone, but there are many that will be misfolded.
Yeah.
And they'll stick to each other and they'll form fibrils and you're off to the races. Not good.
Not good. No.
So alfalfa baths don't work. Okay. For any of you who have seen these, I hate to laugh, but you got to laugh, I guess. There are hucksters out there pushing all kinds of things. Bentonite clay. No, doesn't work. Forget it.
Well, and people have this misguided notion that these things, these long stringy things coming out of the dead people are parasites. They're not. These are amyloid fibrils that have built up over time to these rubbery strands of stringy strands of protein.
Think about it as, and you've seen the pictures, I'm sure all of you have, or most all of you. These clots, they look like rubber bands. Oh, they're round, but they have a rubbery-looking texture. So you are being, literally, rubberized from head to foot. Rubberized.
Yeah.
With these little amyloid fibrils, which become bigger amyloid fibrils, which become amyloid clots, or otherwise doing damage to your major organs. And we've seen people now who have taken the shot, and I forget how many there were. What was it 30, 65 in a month they tracked? And two of the people had diagnosable prion brain disease, CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, in one day, on the second day they found it?
Well, they had symptoms anyway. And they're calling it a new form of CJD.
Oh, yeah, right.
And,
well, they
you
got
know,
there. Go ahead.
Well, the defense of Big Pharma is that we can't possibly assume that this is related to the shots because they haven't been out long enough to see any particular trend, which is true. I mean, the CJD is something that's possibly decades in the making. I don't know that anybody knows, but by the time symptoms become apparent, the decline is rapid, usually within 6 weeks.
Right.
So it's easy to think that, well, okay, so the day after the shot, they manifested symptoms, it must be the shot. Well, maybe, but I suspect there was already some disease that was in progress. On the other hand, as we read the other night, one of the administrators for these CJD support groups said that she was alarmed at the number of new members suddenly, requesting to be in this group. And now this is a group that's been in existence for a couple of years, 2018, I think, so before the scamdemic. But only recently she's been flooded with requests to join the group. I think that's very telling.
I wouldn't be surprised if the group was shut down at some point. It'll get to be too big. I think this.
Well,
if
the topic of these things being related to the vaccine, yeah, mm-hmm. that could get the group shut down. Yes.
Okay. Now, doctors, we've got a couple little short videos here. Dr. Paul Merrick, the world's number two ICU doctor, breaks down in tears over the COVID bioweapon injection and the adverse reactions being ignored and calls it a humanitarian crisis. Now, it's wonderful to see him speaking up, but none of these doctors who have visibility, and I specifically address those that seem to have an awful lot of visibility, huh? They're not telling it like it is. They don't tell it like we tell it here. They'll go, stick their little toe in the water, and that's about it. But it is interesting to hear them. Let's listen to this. Ah, see? Then we'll get it right back. Okay, I'm going to play this. It's, they're always letting us know they're listening. Okay, we get it. Now, this is Dr. Paul Merrick. Let's listen to him.
Doctor, most published, number two in the world. And he is here to tell you the truth about his reaction to what he just heard up here. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Paul Merrick.
Thank you. Thank you, Christina. My heart is so broken, I can't keep quiet anymore. We know these fucking vaccines cause at least 2 to 3% of people who get them will have adverse events like you just heard. They're not making this up. 2 to 3%. Now you figure out how many people have been vaccinated in this country and across the world. There are millions of people who are suffering. They're being ignored. They're not getting treatment and they're suffering. We know exactly what their diagnosis is. I know exactly what it is. I know what it's caused by, and I know how to treat it, and they will not let us treat these people. The NIH knows about these people. They know what causes it, and they will not treat these people. And that has to change. There's no disease in medicine that you can't treat. It's never too late. It's never too late. Yeah. These people... These vaccine-injured people are suffering, and we need to do something for them. This is a humanitarian crisis. Yes. Sorry. I just had to say that because it's a travesty. We have treatments for these people. It's not perfect, but we need to come out of the closet and offer them treatments. We need to work together and figure out what works and what doesn't work. It's a crime against humanity.
Okay, very good. Now, a couple things. It's far more than 2 or 3% who are being injured by these shots. It's way up there. I'd say 50% minimum. And that's just in the first 6 to 12 months.
Right.
6 to 12 weeks. I wish we could sit down with this doctor and just talk to him for a while and trade notes. And maybe he's not laying it out as dramatically as he might for reasons that are obvious. They kill people all the time who get in their way. So that was the world's number two ICU doctor, Dr. Paul Merrick. Now, any other thoughts on that? He's saying that there are treatments for these things. It's never too late. I'm very sorry to disagree with the good doctor. It is too late in many cases, maybe all cases, when someone is grievously injured to ever reclaim them, to ever have them live a full and useful life again. It's too late. And I do not agree that there are treatments for all of these things at all. You cannot treat amyloidosis from head to foot, wherever it may be. There may be some things that will do some good, at least symptomatic relief, but you cannot go in there and reverse what 30 trillion spike proteins are doing to the body.
Yeah, some of this stuff is irreversible. At best, you can just manage symptoms. And now, I don't know what he's being prevented from using. I don't know what it is he thinks is a remedy for this. They don't want him using it.
No,
and the doctors are being told. They're not allowed to acknowledge that whatever somebody's suffering from could possibly be related to the vaccine.
No, they're not vocalizing that. It's just not happening. All right, here's another doctor. Let's see, what do we got here? This should be Dr. Paul Thomas, but it doesn't want to seem to come up. Let's see if I can get it with a new window. Okay, this is Dr. Paul Thomas. This is a short video. Let's find out what Dr. Thomas, he's an Oregon-based pediatrician.
There is no vaccine for COVID. This is a shot with messenger RNA that gets incorporated into your cells and turns your cells into a toxin manufacturing factory. The spike protein, you start making the toxin. It was a lie when they said, oh, we're going to inject it in the muscle and it'll just stay in your muscle. It does not. They're finding spike proteins all over the body in the bloodstream, and it's causing massive problems. Immune system dysfunction is going to be the biggest problem. So when your immune system gets shut down,
you have AIDS.
Cancers and more infections. So we're going to see that. I'm already seeing ads for, did you know 1 in 3 people have shingles? What? I've seen a handful of cases of shingles in my 35 years. Shingles is a rare disease when your immune system's not working. Well, they are preparing the population of COVID-jabbed people to accept shingles as normal. That's just one thing. You're going to have cancers. You're going to have all sorts of infections. What do we do about those? Well, cancer, autoimmune disease, which is the other biggie that takes time. That's the other problem. We're not going to see the disaster play out fully for probably a few years. It takes a while for autoimmunity to develop. How do we, mainstream medicine, how do they treat autoimmunity? You use immunosuppressants. And this is the number one moneymaker in the world is immunosuppressants. Well, until the COVID jab, I think they might have surpassed them in 1 year. But number one moneymaker was immunosuppressants. When you suppress the immune system, you get cancer and infections. Number two moneymaker was the cancer drug therapy world. And what caused the problem to begin with? Number three moneymaker, the vaccines themselves. So you are being turned into human ATM machines for big business who will only profit the sicker we get. So more and more people are on chronic medications because without them, they would die. And if you have diabetes and you don't have your insulin, you're dead.
Well said. Well done. Okay. Here's someone speaking out more or less at full sail. He's doing a real good job. Okay, we have one more video here, Vandenbosch. You want to play Geert Vandenbosch for any reason?
Yeah, Geert is, I don't think he gets enough press, but he has been warning about the danger mm-hmm. of attempting to vaccinate for a virus in the middle of an outbreak. And especially with a leaky vaccine, because you are going to drive the evolution of vaccine resistant or immune resistant mm-hmm. variants, immune escape mm-hmm. variants. And that is exactly what we're seeing, probably in addition to chimeric viruses of all kinds. But yeah, he's been very outspoken about it. I don't think we've seen the worst of this yet.
All right, here we go. Geert Vandenbosch.
It's at the risk of inducing autoimmune responses, autoimmunity in children. That's why I'm saying never ever use a vaccine that cannot block transmission when you are on the battlefield. If you have a vaccine that cannot prevent the transmission, you cannot control this pandemic. The virus will escape. You cannot win this. It's impossible. So in other words, with this mass vaccination, you're doing exactly the opposite. You are generating a breeding ground for even more infectious variants to replicate. Scientifically, there is no rational whatsoever to vaccinate children. This cannot be justified. There is no added value whatsoever for children. There is only major concerns and major risks. So we know definitely that the risk-benefit ratio is going in a completely wrong direction. So how on earth can you, with that knowledge, can you even think of doing such a thing? It's, I have no other words, this is criminal. And you know, as a scientist, we don't use these words lightly. Well, you hear me saying exactly the opposite, that when you get vaccinated, there is no chance that you can contribute to herd immunity. And my advice is very, very clear. Under no single circumstance should you allow to get your child vaccinated.
And how many times have we seen the story of the pregnant woman getting shot up? 80% of those women have lost their unborn child. 80%. That's minimum.
Yeah, and there is still a Facebook group encouraging women to get vaccinated, pregnant women to get vaccinated. It's absolutely scandalous.
Well, we honestly suspect that this is an AI,
yes.
If not run, certainly augmented group, because there
yeah,
are
it's people
pictures.
Typing, yeah. You know, scenarios all day long, and then they'll put baby pictures in there. You know, to provoke the emotions of pregnant women. Say, look, I got my vax and my baby's just fine. You should get yours. Don't take any chances with COVID. It's utterly scandalous.
Well, it's mass murder is what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's our Wednesday update for you. You heard the doctors, and they are speaking up. Not loud enough.
Finally.
Because they don't have access to the loudest stage, the mainstream media. but we do try to push their message as much as we can. Okay. Thanks, Erica.
Okay, Jeff. My pleasure. Good night, everyone.
And we will be back tomorrow, Thursday. Take good care. Prepare. Talk tomorrow.